up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Pete this week. Pete, good to see you.
Hey, Derek. This week we find out what happens when you make Fantasia on a reluctant dragon budget.
I'm not even sure they spent that much. And this week we've got Steve. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. School's back in the swing of things, so you know.
I feel underdressed.
Well, you should.
I did not wear a collared shirt, so I didn't realize it was
it's the hazards of being, you know, teachers.
Yeah.
And it's a collared Donald Duck shirt.
Yes. So, guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some really fun shows coming up, including next week's, which I think you guys will really enjoy. So, this week, we jumped back into the vault to look at the package film Melody Time. In the 1940s, after World War II, Walt, instead of going deep into a big budget 70 minute telling one story, he had all of these shorts that he had created for different reasons and needed to get some stuff out into theaters. So he would take these different shorts and package them together and put them out. Make My Music was one of them. The Saludos Amigos, the Three Caballeros, Fun and Fancy Free. The last of these was actually Ichabod Crane and Mr. Toad. So this one, I said this was Melody Time. This one came out in 1948. This was one of the later ones. Mm-hmm. Has 7 musical shorts. Once Upon a Winter Time, which is basically about a couple that goes skating on the ice with a bunnies couple, and the girls get mad and the guys have to save them. Bumble Boogie looks at the flight of the bumblebee. Legend of Johnny Appleseed takes the song that we all know and tells the story of Johnny Appleseed. Little Toot. The Disney-fied version of the story of Johnny Appleseed.
No, you said the song that we all know. I think there's a lot of people out there that probably don't know that song.
The Lord's Been Good to Me. A lot of people don't know that song.
I think there's probably a lot of
that, like daycare and Sunday school and all those different places.
I didn't have to.
Okay. That some people know. Little Toot Pete's going to talk about. Trees uses the Joyce Comer poem as a bathroom break. Donald's in Blame It on the Samba. Steve's going to talk about one. And the Pecos Bill short I'm going to talk about. So, Pete, I'll start. We each got to choose one of the shorts that we wanted to talk about. Pete, I'm going to let you talk about Little Toot.
Yeah, one thing I thought was kind of fascinating about this was how varying the lengths were of some of these. Like, some of them were very, very short. Felt like 2 or 3 minutes. The Pecos Bill one, I think, felt like the longest one anyways.
22 minutes.
Yeah. So they were kind of all over the place. Little Toot was in the middle of it. I picked this one kind of because I liked each short, and that's why I made the joke about Fantasia at the beginning. Each short was based on some kind of music. And the Little Toot one had the Andrews Sisters, who I don't even know about at that time, but like during World War II era and that, they were very, very, very famous. I think they sang the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. Am I right about that?
Yes, they did.
And yeah, I was watching this with my daughter, and I gave her a couple of history lessons while we were watching them. I also explained who Roy Rogers was.
Fair enough.
But I thought this short was cute. It's, you know, kind of a typical. There's a little small tugboat who's trying to help his dad, and he ends up kind of wrecking New York City at one point. And so he gets in trouble and he gets put in chains, and just some of the things were like so weird in this that it was like, wait, they're putting a child tugboat in chains and banishing him to the deep ocean. I was like, oh, I don't know about this, but it was kind of amusing. And then in the end, he saves a ship that's in distress and tows it back into the harbor. And of course, all is forgiven, and his dad is proud of him and everything. To me, this was fairly tight. It felt like a typical Disney short length. So it was maybe, I don't know, 8 to 10 minutes long. The song was kind of fun. The animation was fun. It wasn't, none of the animation in any of this is impressive. And I think that's the biggest thing that happened with these package shorts is Walt like really devoted time and money to those early Bambi and Fantasia and those. And at the same time, World War II hit, and he couldn't sell them to foreign countries because of the war. And so he was losing a lot of money on some of those movies, even though Snow White was a big hit. And these movies he was able to put up. I actually looked this one up, and it cost about $1 million to make, which is kind of surprising to me. It didn't feel like it would be that much, but it made about two. So, you know, he was able to put these out and make them profitable without still being able to, you know, put them too much to foreign markets. But anyways,
that is, it made two in its initial release.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Well, because Disney would re-release all of these. So it's just, you made that in its initial release. So,
but most of these package films, it's, as you said, it's your mileage may vary type thing. Some of them are better than others. This one I thought was fun though. I enjoyed it. As I said, enjoyed the music. It was cute. It didn't drag for me, which almost all the other ones did. So I liked it. And I thought it was fun. What'd you guys think of Little Toot, by the way?
It was one of my favorite out of the sets. It would be probably in my top compared to the other ones. So sort of reminds me of Little Engine That Could.
Very much.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to know it was a book. It was a like a little kid's book before it was a Disney short. So, interesting thing, last appearance of the Andrews sisters in any kind of a film form. Okay. Appearance of them singing. So I like Little Toot. You guys are gonna find I grew up watching this. This was something that my parents had taped off of TV back in the 80s, because when the old Disney Channel used to play a lot of these, and thank goodness for VHS home VHS recording tapes. So Steve, you were gonna talk about Blame It on the Samba.
Oh, I wish I'd picked something else. So this is a short that has Donald and Jose, and they're basically down in the blues. So it starts off with them in the blues, and then they meet, I guess it's the, I don't know how to say it, the Archon bird or whatever.
Archon bird.
Yes, which reminds me of Woody Woodpecker. And then basically invites them into the listen to the samba like nightclub or whatever, and then basically is able to cheer them up. This was one of the shorts that had some live action sort of thrown in, because I had to look up the name, Ethel Smith playing the organ, and then the Dinning sisters, who I have never heard of, they were providing the vocals. It was nice. It wasn't my favorite. I didn't care for it because you never really got to see Donald's personality really come through. It was just sort of like they're there. It could have been any Disney characters. The Archon bird, I thought they could have done so much more. I mean, just the look and how he started off. I thought that could have really played well with Donald losing his temper. So,
yeah.
To me, this it was okay.
The Grand Fiesta Tour in like 6 minutes on it's Donald wanting to go after the pretty girl playing the organ and the other birds saying, no, let's just dance and have fun.
Yes.
For me, the RQ and bird drives me nuts whenever in, because this is definitely not the only thing he is in. He is also in several other things with Donald and Jose. So I'm glad he was fairly restrained in this one. I would admit this is one of my least favorite of in the program, just because there's no there. Once you realize that they're going to use the music to get happy and okay, you see the pretty girl playing the organ. That's all the story of the.
That's all it was. It was.
So,
yeah.
It was 8 minutes that could have been two. So, Pete, anything to add?
I completely agree with what Steve said that like they didn't give Donald any of his normal personality in this, which was the disappointing part about it. I do always like it when they do the live action and animation interaction. So there was a few funny gags with that. I also thought it was strange that, you know, samba music from that famous Latina musician, Ethel Smith. So, and she was dressed in like, you know, traditional, I think the samba is supposed to be Brazilian also, right?
Yes.
I'm not sure. Yeah. So,
because the interesting thing, it was, I can't remember how it was, but because I think the English lyrics were dubbed in or whatever, but somehow when they did it Brazilian, they used the English version. So I guess when they redubbed it for Brazilian, it wasn't matching up 100% or something.
Oh, yeah.
I had to look up that fact, but it was something interesting. So,
which doesn't make any sense to me because you never see anyone's mouth moving with the lyric.
No. Right.
So, And really, you never really pay attention to the lyrics. So
I can't tell you what they were singing about.
No, the samba and how you can blame it on it. So, for me, I picked probably my favorite of just about any short in any of these package films, the story of Pecos Bill told by Roy Rogers and Sons of the Pioneers to, for some reason, Bobby Driscoll and Luna Patton, who had just come off of Song of the South and So Dear to My Heart. So,
that's why they were there, right? Yeah, that's why they
were there. This is the one that had all of these typically have a disclaimer of negative portrayals at the beginning. This one is why it had the negative portrayal warning on it. There was definitely some stuff in here that was aged from the 40s, but the first 5 to 7 minutes of this is when basically they're singing about the desert and, you know, shadows on the trail. Once they get into the story, I love this. I think it's tight. I love the different little episodes of it. It's great. It's the getting into that that's rough, but the animation is great on this. The has, you know, Bill doing all the crazy things that only really works in animation. We talked about the plausible impossible last week, where it's stuff that can't really happen with, like, especially inanimate objects. And this is him doing all the stuff with inanimate objects that they can't happen.
Right.
So this one's fun. This one's fairly tight once you get them actually telling the Pecos Bill story. So I enjoyed this one. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. And I mean, I remember this one and, you know, it still has a link to the parks because you have Pecos Bill's restaurant in Magic Kingdom and Frontierland.
For now.
For now. Yeah, might be Tiana's soon enough. But it's, you know, it's, I mean, other than a picture of Pecos Bill on the sign, though, it's not really themed at all to this short. But. You know, I got a kick out of it. It's definitely a fun story. I actually, as I was watching it, I like looked up on Wikipedia about the Pecos Bill character, which was basically written as a bunch of tall tales of the Old West, actually in the 1900s. It wasn't even written back in the time of it, but like a lot of the things that they showed were actually from the stories about him. Even Slewfoot Sue bouncing up to the sky moon, yeah. was part of that story. And I was like, wow. So these truly are the tall tales that were being told. So I like that. I like kind of seeing Roy Rogers and I'm not a big like country fan, but I kind of like that like cowboy crooner that the Sons of the Pioneers do. So I like this. This was probably my favorite too. What about you, Steve?
I Jade it like as Gina, who's in the background, and I were talking. Is I remember watching this in elementary school, along with the other one,
Johnny
Appleseed. And I think we probably watched it because I remember we always did a tall tale unit. So Paul Bunyan and this. And like I said, this would probably be in my top three. I don't know exactly where I would put it, but it was nice seeing it. I mean,
yeah,
very enjoyable.
And it's interesting that you guys mentioned it because they did Casey Jones, they did Paul Bunyan, and they did Casey at the Bat. They did several of those others that were not in here and that are nowhere on Disney Plus, which is interesting that there's still so many of those shorts, and even there's a couple other package films that are not on Disney Plus. And for the life of me, I can't understand why. But focusing on this one, so we've talked about three of the specific ones. What are your other general overall thoughts as far as what was working, what didn't? And Pete, I'll give you a chance to start, and then you'll have the rebuttal from Steve and I.
I didn't care for this. I normally don't mind the package films. I think this might be my least favorite, though Fun and Fancy Free, I don't really love either.
Half of Fun and Fancy Free is fine. The other half is Bongo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think any of these package films, the biggest disappointment is kind of the animation, that it's really, to me, Disney short level quality versus Disney film level quality. It's not that it's terrible or anything like that, but to present us with a movie that is not much different from a bunch of short sound together, but particularly like most of them I found very boring. I just couldn't wait for them to end. I forget what the first one was called, the Snowtime one. I was just like, oh, this is that did not help to start with that one. That was probably my least favorite. But even the Johnny Appleseed one, I thought, even though it wasn't super long, it felt like it dragged to me. It really was only the three we talked about that I really enjoyed at all. And even the Samba one, I didn't think was great, but I thought it like at least held its own for its length because it wasn't very long. So it's like hit or miss and mostly miss for me. So what about you, Steve?
I'm sort of in the same boat. It was just okay. I'm like you, actually the first one, the winter one, actually grew on me at first. Didn't like it, but I think as it went on, how the music was matching the animation, so I started enjoying it a little bit more. It was just okay. I was reading that this was sort of at the time it was the contemporary music matching up, and I think now the music is so out of date that it's harder to keep that interest there, or just it's that singing that I just don't really care for. Like, just give me the music and I would have been fine. So,
yeah, I think for me, the unevenness of this, I didn't have nearly the problem with some of the others. Like Bumble Boogie, I thought was fine because, again, it was short and I enjoyed the music on it.
Yeah.
The Once Upon a Winter Time was okay for me. Again, I remembered it from having watched it growing up, and it's been in other Disney Christmas compilations of they will throw that one in there. Trees, the less said about it, the better. But I don't, overall, I enjoyed this one. Yes, it was slow. Yes, there was a point in time where I actually had to pause it and go do something else just because I could tell I was getting a little bit jaded from having to sit and watch all of them at the same time. Mm-hmm. And again, that was about the end. That was at the end of Trees. So,
yeah, that one was interesting in that it was like 5 minutes long and probably 4 minutes too long.
Well, so is the poem. Yeah. So, little too, as I said, I love the Johnny Appleseed one. You're right. Johnny Appleseed one was 17 minutes long. So,
It got too long.
Yeah, it got too long. Especially the second half of it. But overall, I think just the unevenness of this is the biggest issue. This reminded me of something where Disney would have thrown something like this together, like an old Disneyland episode. This could have been an hour and a half Disneyland episode or an hour Disneyland episode if you cut two of them.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this reminded me of, except back then, as you said, they were all original animation. So, okay. As we always do, we judge movies like this. We rate it out of cups of pixie dust out of 5. Pete, I'm going to start with you on this one.
I hate downgrading any classic Disney animation, but this to me is just for those that are really interested in the history and the early days of Disney animation. And even there's a lot better things you can look at than this one. I'm giving it a 2. Steve?
Yep. I'm the same boat. A 2. I mean, there's some sort of highlights in there. And then other parts you probably could skip over. Mm-hmm. So like Trees.
And see, I like the highlights enough that I'm going to give this a 3. And to me, it's a solid 3. Well, you guys got to remember, this is not unusual for me. I like the old stuff.
Oh, you do, for sure.
So yeah. I will say, if you like the old Disney animation, I would argue this is easier to watch than a couple of the early feature films. I'd watch this over Snow White, to be perfectly honest.
No. Oh, no.
No, the story is Snow. I'm sorry. Snow White's voice drives me nuts. But we can.
Yeah, but I mean, there's great stuff in Snow White. There's
great stuff in Snow White. It's just if I want to sit and not have to think about the great animation, all that kind of stuff. And if I want to be able to put something on, not really pay attention, it's Little Toot's on. I remember this one. Little Toot was just a tuck. So if this is just for a fun watch, I enjoy it. So, okay. We do have a little bit of Disney Plus news this week. While it has been rumored for a while, it was officially announced that Star Wars Acolyte will not be getting a season 2.
Not shocked.
Not shocked. It was not great, especially Pete. You said you saw $180 million. Where did they spend it?
Yeah, I've since the cancellation announcement, I've seen that comment a couple times. Was like, why is this much money? So, I don't. We had this discussion right with the finale, but how you know there were some good things in it, but it just wasn't consistent enough. You know, a time period that I wouldn't mind seeing them revisit, but I don't need a sequel to this.
No, I definitely don't need a sequel. Yeah. So, okay. Next week, it is the 60th anniversary of Mary Poppins coming out. Ooh. And we're going to have a trivia round with next week's show. So, bust out your brains, you know, watch up on it. I think it's one that most of us on the show could probably review without having to watch it again.
Yeah.
But I'm going to definitely watch it again.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. It's been a few years. So, in fact, I don't think I've watched it since the sequel. I think I watched it before the sequel came out, which was 5 years ago now or something like that.
Maybe
longer.
Yeah. know. I've watched at least parts of it since then.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that, how there's parts I could review. I could see the entire sequence with my eyes shut.
Oh, sure.
And there's parts I could go, now what? So it's just one of those where, yeah. So I think we'll all watch it again, but come be ready for some trivia, and you guys will be able to play along at home, because on screen, see how you do against Peter, Steve, and we might bring in Gina on this one too. And Kate, if she's around, which she should be.
Kate might actually know this movie.
Yeah. Kate don't know this movie. Yeah. So, which I would have been interested to see what Kate thought about the movie tonight, just because of it had the music in it. So,
right. Yeah,
be interesting to see what she would have thought. But unfortunately, she wasn't able to be with us. But guys, after Mary Poppins next week, I have a couple more shows, like in 2 weeks, and then in 4 weeks is Agatha. Mm-hmm. But other than that, guys, nothing is coming out. This is kind of a repeating thing.
Yeah. Again, they just put out the September list.
Nothing.
Nothing. I mean, other than Agatha.
Literally nothing.
I don't know how they're doing this. I don't know how they're not losing
subscribers
when there's so little coming out to the service. They've like gone the exact opposite of what they did early. Now, some of that might be to do with the strike last year, but by this point, you've
got to think that they would have something. They could put out some more of those old animated stuff, put out some more Disneyland episodes. There's the Wonderful World of Color episode needs to be on the service. I don't think it is.
No,
the one with Ludwig Drawn Drake and the color song where he's switched over. There's I remember the old Ludwig von Drake. There's when he goes through the history of aviation is funny as heck.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on the service. So guys, there's so much more that can be on here. Why aren't they putting it out? All it literally will take is run it through a video capture machine and hit upload.
Yeah, they probably got to clean some of that stuff up a little bit, not AI that hard.
Does so much, can do so much of that now.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you. You know, but even that is not going to pull subscribers. I just don't get why you spend $180 million on 8 episodes of Star Wars instead of like to me, you know, I mean, Disney Channel used to live and die by the DCOM, right? The Disney Channel movie, original movie.
Yes.
Once a month put out. I mean, those movies were not expensive
or good, but
well, a lot of them were not good. Some of them were, and some of them were terrible. However, they would put them out and every once in a while, one of them would hit big and be very, really popular. Why don't they do that? Put these, you know, relatively low budget. You can make 15 of those for that $180 million or
oh, you know,
one. What?
You could make 180 of those for that $180 million.
No, you can't make a movie for $1 million anymore. Sorry, Derek. Fair enough. But you get my point, right? I mean, you could have, hey, it's the Disney Plus movie of the month, and it's an original movie, and it doesn't have to be high budget. You know, everything on streaming services doesn't have to be an event.
Or put out some of like the old, you know, the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody or whatever, like some of those old preteen series that were not good, but they had a following and they were out and they had a new episode out every week. Or like sometimes they'd put like 3 episodes out in a week. So
put some sitcoms, put some stuff that, again, not all of it's going to be great and not all of it's necessarily going to appeal to this group that's watching Disney Plus, but like have content. That's the thing with streaming, is you got to have content, and having, you know, one movie and one show every month is not going to keep you going, especially if you keep raising your prices.
Yeah.
So
and another price raise hike is coming.
Yeah.
So, okay, guys, if you have suggestions, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Message us anywhere, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Carrier Pigeon. Send it written on the back of a 6-day park hopper to me. anything. We've got new episodes Thursdays on YouTube and all the major podcasting services for Pete and Steve, Gene in the background, Kate in absentia. We will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.